Today on Movie Wallahs, we talk about Chappie and Unfinished Business. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello. I'm really excited to talk about Chappie.
You are?
Chappie.
Third movie, right? From Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, Blomkamp.
Blomkamp.
Blomkamp, yeah, Neil.
That sounds not a little Neil Nazi. Yeah. I'm sorry. My apologies to the director.
Blomkamp.
But before we go there, I have to be, I'm kind of excited too, because I just got in the mail my copy of Poltergeist, the original, on Blu-ray.
Oh, God.
Oh, that movie has...
Have you seen that, Yazdi?
Yeah.
Because Rashmi hasn't seen it.
And the remake's coming.
The remake is coming. Why on earth are they doing a remake? It doesn't... If ever a movie didn't need a remake, it was Poltergeist, but...
I want to see it again because I was so traumatized as a child.
I think this is where Joe's going, unfortunately.
So I want to know if it's as scary as my mind has retained it.
No, it isn't. I saw it again... I've seen it like three or four times as an adult, and it's not, it's just a very, very well crafted movie. There's lots of controversy about who actually directed it, because Steven Spielberg was not officially the director. He was working on, what movie is he working on at the time? He was working on something else at the same time, but he basically spent, you know, 75% of the time on set. And there's a lot of controversy if you read about that movie, who directed it, who really did.
Wow.
But it has the Spielberg touch to it, and I think you can feel him there. And he, you know, it's a Spielberg produced, present type thing. But it's such a good film. I'm actually going to try and persuade Rashmi to watch it, simply because it's such a well-crafted movie.
I'm too scared.
But what do you mean, it's too scared? You are the secret lover of horror.
I know, but that just feels too scary.
It's not as frightening in my mind as something like The Conjuring. It's such a beautiful film for the horror genre. And, you know, it's
a seminal piece of horror.
It's a terrific
movie. If we watch it on a Saturday morning...
I cannot watch this movie before going to bed. Trust me, I like my sleep as well. But
I'm not watching it again.
It's a fabulous film. Yeah,
I just don't like losing sleep. Sleep is so precious to me.
Mine is about going to the bathroom. I'm serious.
By yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mine is about sitting on the bowl.
In our bedroom.
I know, but I mean...
It's not like you have to walk down...
But it's that feeling of like sitting on the bowl and something coming up and following me in. I know it's really irrational. No, it's like my fear of being eaten by a shark in the ocean. I know it's irrational, but that's the fear. It's so weird.
I think that's irrational fear. Things can come up.
Yeah, I believe that like a hand will come up or something will suck me in.
It was in the Kingsman, right? There was a scene in The Kingsman where they're all...
Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Yes. Remember when when the room gets flooded and they all like get an endless supply of air through the toilet?
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, there was that horrible 80s or 70s B-movie Alligator. I'm sure that the thing came out.
Arachnophobia, I think there was one scene in there
where
as well.
Where they came through the toilet?
Well, it was involved.
Okay.
As always, we digress.
Yes.
Let's bring it back to the movie of the week, which is Chappie. So, Chappie is the third movie from writer-director Neil Blomkamp, who crafted and penned one of my favorite movies of the last decade, actually, District 9. That wonderful movie set in South Africa, Johannesburg in particular, which had all wonderful issues mixed into it with respect to apartheid and just humanity in general. Kind of lost the plot to the end, but it was a really, really well-crafted movie and had terrific promise there from Neil Blomkamp, who at the time I think was basically being presented by Peter Jackson, who I think... claimed to have found him and taken him from a short filmmaker to a primetime He made Elysium, which was released last year. That mm-hmm. was not as well received mm-hmm. by us included. I think Elysium had some written problems, but nonetheless, Chappie is his third movie. It's another sci-fi film, and it's essentially about a guy who develops a consciousness program for a robot, decides to put it into that robot, and sees what ensues. It felt very much like Short Circuit, the movie back in the 80s where the robot comes to life. It had lots of thematic reminders, at least in my mind, with films like RoboCop and so on and so forth. So, guys, what did you think of Chappie?
So if Chris Nolan does verisimilitude the best, then Neil Blomkamp is the master of making something strange and unusual look completely normal, like it just fits in, and it's always been that way. This is an incredible movie that cleverly peels back the onion on what it means to be human, and that's a lot of things, not always good. I was blown away by this movie.
Yes,
this is going to be one of those shows.
Oh, dear.
So I realize I might be in the minority here, but honestly, we get it that Neil Blomkamp loved Short Circuit as a child, and this is his homage to that film. But it never earns the emotional beats that this particular story demands. I think my biggest problem was that Chappie just did not establish as a believable entity to me. So instead of a clever 80s knockoff, you know, I felt like saddled with a movie that had awful writing and cheese galore. I mean, it did not work for me, not for 1 minute of its running time. I was just like, wincing the whole time. I was like, please somebody make this end. And people clapped at the end of this movie. So I know I'm probably in the minority. It just was, it was not working.
So
at
we
all.
Had the opposite it experience.
Yeah, completely.
To
opposite.
Focus. Okay.
So who am I with here? Am I yeah. with Rashmi or am I with Yazdi? What do you think?
So I know you love District 9. I love District 9. I think you're more on Yazdi's side because you would have been disappointed.
And you would be right. With, yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those movies that I'm just rooting for the filmmaker, mm-hmm. right? I'm sitting there and I'm wanting him to be as successful because District 9 was a landmark so movie yeah. in yeah. my mind. And I mean, it's one of my, it's in our DVD collection. We don't buy a lot of DVDs these days. It's just such a perfect, it's perfectly crafted. Yeah, Elysium had some terrific mm-hmm. concepts as well, and I think it had some wonderful social commentary. And you know, yeah, it kind of got a little you know heavy crash bangy yeah. at the end, but you know, it's still a movie that I didn't hate. This movie was the same in terms of its concepts and ideas, but it was ham-fistedly directed. Yeah. I mean, and terribly, terribly written. And when I say it's clunkily mad, I think it's disastrously yeah. so. There's, for me, just to finish my intro thought, the biggest issue I had with it was that the character development is so poorly done. The movie is just filled with exposition and telegraphs its intentions from scene to scene to scene to scene. And it really doesn't earn the right to have any of the emotions that it wants you to feel yeah. about Chappie. Like there's nothing that it wants you to be sympathetic with Chappie, but it doesn't take you there. It just says you should feel sorry guy. For him because he's getting picked on. So
see, I disagree. I completely disagree that it wanted you to feel anything. I think for me, this is an exploration of, human nature, which I think Neil Blomkamp does exceptionally well. I agree it's not as good as District 9. It has still has that kind of feel. For me, more than good versus bad, to me, this film is about parenting. It's about the ability to do the right thing for another person who's in your care. It's about transferring your values to someone else and the implications of that. To me, this is more than a robot or bringing a robot to life. I mean, what's a soul? What makes us human? What's consciousness? It's so profound, and I think way better than Transcendence last year. Agree, it's not as good as District 9, but I think it's an amazing movie that is disguised as this clunky, loud, you know, booming, violent movie, but underneath it, there's so much more.
I think I wanted the movie to be all of those things you wanted, you mentioned about. It was none of those things for me.
Really?
I mean, you compare it to something like WALL-E, okay? Within half an hour of WALL-E, I was WALL-E. I was with WALL-E. I was, you know, feeling its pain. And that movie brought up issues of what it is to be human and machine and to have feelings and soul and consciousness and all of that. And WALL-E did it so beautifully. This one just was like, It was trying so desperately to reach at all those big themes, but it was coming short every single time. And again, maybe I'm in the minority, but, and maybe you are too, Joe, but it just, I mean, the writing was atrocious. And I mean, this is what I wrote in my notes, right? I feared it might be bad, but I was not prepared for awful bad. And then it just got unwatchable. It was unwatchable. There were parts where I just wanted to walk. I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed for you, Jackman. I'm so embarrassed for Sigourney Weaver. I'm like, please somebody, you know, make this movie disappear from their careers.
I thought it was one of the best roles I've seen Hugh Jackman do for a long time. I was like, I am so over Hugh Jackman being the, you know, singing hero. And, you know, being like Broadway star, it was so good to see him in something slightly different and not vanity and vanity free, I should say.
I don't know what movie you saw.
What did you see, Rachel?
Because honestly, for me, the writing was laugh out loud bad at times. I mean, just the whole pancake flat bad guys that they had in the movie, to watch Dev Patel struggling with some of the stuff that he had to do. He was trying to be the science nerd guy, but he was doing it in the way that, you know, they used to do in those terrible 80s cartoons. He was like the science guy with the glasses and the...
Who's explaining everything. He's the exposition
and he's
guy.
The exposition, right. And I think his lines were awful. And for me, at least, the problem that the movie had from start to finish was nobody's behaviors in terms of the way that their character is written and the decisions that they make reflect anything that a normal human being would do. Why would you, if you're the Dev Patel character, you know, why are you constantly driving back to the scene where there's this gang who's about to blow your head off for, you know, these guys are all portrayed as having these, you know, twitchy trigger fingers and they're like mean badass criminals and just nothing seemed to hang together. And I think it was just, he had so many ideas that he wanted to cram into here. So he decided to throw them in instead of letting them develop. And I think, again, it for me, the problem really in the movie was its writing because visually, aesthetically, this is my kind of thing, right? It's video game culture. Neil Blomkamp grew up at the same time as me. He was influenced in the same way. The RoboCop influences are all over the place.
Yeah.
Steel mills, weapons, crime gangs, you know, police striker.
Yeah,
attitudes.
The big monster versus the little
ED 209
one.
Yeah. Robo. I mean, this is like totally my thing. You know how I feel about the 1980s version of RoboCop. And so, you know, aesthetically, this is my kind of movie, but kind of like George Lucas, he needs to let somebody help him write this stuff.
Even the bad guys were straight out of like an 80s music video, you know, with their look. And I really appreciated the look of the movie. This is an homage to 80s movies. Okay. This completely is. I mean, the tattoos and the music and the demeanor and nobody walks like that. Nobody, the way people pretend to be cool. Nobody right now behaves like that to be cool.
Right.
They behave like that to be cool in the 80s. So I get it. It's kind of cute and I admired that. But I just, I mean, people were giggling in this movie at parts. Like there's a part where you know, that the blonde girl is in bed with Chappie and like people were giggling because it seems so inappropriate. Like she's mothering him, but it kind of felt like they were going to get it on, you know? So I don't know. It was just, there was a lot of unintentional humor. And I don't mean to gang up on you. Please have your say.
No. This is why movies are so good, right? Because we take from them exactly like we said in previous podcasts, different things resonate with us. I mean, for me, I just love the look of the movie so much. And I love that nothing's saturated and everything's very
gritty,
dull and gritty and real. And I absolutely agree. I don't disagree with what you're saying about the fact that this is a bit hammy. But for me, I could look past that hamminess to something more.
The other problem I had with it was the Chappie robot himself. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we're expected to believe some of these behaviors that he exhibited. And, you know, again, the themes are wonderful, right? The themes of kind of, you know, being led astray, being naive to the world, and, you know, human beings, humanity,
manipulation kind of other people, yeah, cruelty,
they're all there to be seen, but they don't work. They just make these huge jumps from one place to another, and I feel like the movie was a bit too excited with all its concept. If you'd thrown half of them out and let one or two of them evolve, let the audience fill in the blanks with some of the stuff rather than, you know, telling us how to feel at every moment. And Chappie himself was just unbelievable. And unbelievable in an incredulous manner.
I really liked him.
You believed in him?
Yeah, I did. And I think what helped me believe him was just the movement of all of the robots. So for some reason, the way that he moved and the way that he moved in that universe and how he was filmed and how everything came together, for me, it was totally immersive. Mm. I absolutely believed that there was this, you know,
right,
place in Johannesburg where there are these robot police and it's happening right now. Like, for me, it was that real. It was that believable.
Interesting.
And even his journey from the moment he becomes conscious to the end was stunning.
No, for me, that was the hardest. That was so choppy. It was just all over the place. Like, one minute he's struggling with a word, next minute he's talking full sentences. And maybe that's evolution, but it just...
The time frame was wrong. I mean, there wasn't any passage of time. I actually thought at one point that...
That was one of my criticisms. I couldn't tell what time this was over. That
it had taken place over a few days or a few weeks. And then we learn at some other line of dialogue that it was actually the day before. So, you know, they're just...
Okay, let's sum this up. Yazdi.
You know, I had such high expectations. Well, that's not true. I was actually worried this movie would be awful, but I had underestimated just how awful it might be. I mean, there's plenty to like about the movie. I like the visuals. I like the homage to 80s. There's nobody quite who is doing that, but I think it's exactly what Joe said. I think he should have hired somebody to polish off the script and make it all work together. And I seldom have such a strong reaction, but, you know, I just was like literally waiting for this movie to end. I mean, these are my last notes. God, please, please make this end. And it keeps going on. It has like four or five endings too. I'm sorry. I really wanted to like this movie. I'll be generous and give it 4 out of 10. Sorry.
Joe. You know, visually, this was a treat. I mean, I think Neil Blomkamp clearly has talent behind the camera. I think he knows how to create a universe and how to put us in it. I think District 9, Elysium have all been very successful with that. But really, dude, hire a freaking screenwriter. And I actually want to see him direct someone else's work next time. I mean, I think in terms of his talent, it's clearly there. But he really needs to understand where his skill set lies. And I think District 9 was perhaps a very well-conceived expansion of a short movie that he made. And the themes maybe carried that movie through rather than the plot, because the plot did get a little silly. When you break it apart for what it is and the character, the arc of the Sholto Copley character and where he ends up, you know, it doesn't quite hang together. But, you know, this movie really... was very badly written. So I'm going to be, as much as I want to like this type of thing, I'm going to have to give it only a 4 out of 10 as well.
Wow. Okay. Chappie, for me, is quite an unforgettable experience. It's a good story with a lot of good messages, but it's entertaining and interesting too. I was a happy one when I came out of the theater. So I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10.
Rescue was a happy Chappie.
I was a happy Chappie.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just sparks of genius through the whole thing. The very last shot in the movie is perfect. It's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, there were four other endings before it, and I was so bored by that time that by the time that last image came along, I was like, oh, you know.
I just like that there's someone who stars in this called Ninja and Yolandi. That's yes, actually their real name.
Yes.
I mean, that's
nobody's
amazing.
Real name is Ninja Rashmi. But yes, that's the screen name, probably. But
I did meet someone called Lovingly the other day.
No.
I did. And they,
yeah, Joe came home and told me.
That's cute. I know somebody called Handsome. I'm not making this
really?
Up.
Really?
Yes. Those two need to get together.
Yeah, I was just
Handsome and Lovingly need to get together.
Where is Handsome?
Handsome is a programmer in the Pfizer China office.
Oh.
And he's involved with programming and medical writing.
And is he?
I don't know. I've never met him. I've only sent emails. I mean, I can barely...
Is it weird writing Dear Handsome?
Dear Handsome. Please don't misinterpret my email.
What about when you get messages, love, handsome?
Oh, yeah.
Or regards, handsome.
Well, it's okay. When I went to this office, Lovingly. The whole team met Lovingly.
Oh, wow. There's no end to this.
Okay. We've done that one to death. Let's move on to some unfinished business.
Yes. So Unfinished Business is the latest from director Ken Scott, who also made Starbuck, this little French-Canadian movie, and the Hollywood remake of that film called Delivery Man. He reunites with his Delivery Man lead actor Vince Vaughn in this outing, which also stars Dave Franco, Tom Wilkinson, and Sierra Miller. The film is centered around three small-time businessmen who head to Europe to cinch a major business deal. And the best laid plans go yada, yada, yada. The trip gets sidetracked by all manner of diversions in this comedy. And unlike the Lazarus Effect, or I should say just like the Lazarus Effect, this movie's running at an incredible 7% Tomatometer rating, even lower. So I missed this one. And maybe I'm doing good with picking my movies to watch. But this one I really wanted to go, but they had an early screening at 4:15 or so, 4:30.
5:30,
same. 5:30, so I couldn't make it for this one. I know the two of you did. What did you think about?
Oh, I'm going first.
Yes.
Yeah, lowbrow comedy.
So here's the thing. If you want to get over your analytical on this movie, then I have to admit that its tonal shifts from like raunchy hangover style penis jokes in one scene to tackling issues like cyberbullying and family issues at the other, it jumps back and forth between those two things. But this movie has a lot of heart, I think. And I don't understand why it's been brutally slain in the way it has in the press, because at the end of the day, when you assess a comedy, you know, for me, it has to kind of pass the laugh test. And you know, did it get a few good laughs? Absolutely. I didn't find this movie offensive in any way. I mean, you want to break it apart? Yeah, it's got some issues, but nothing like the Chappie issues that we've just spoken about. Rashmi, what did you think?
Wow, I want to see it already.
Okay, Rashmi. So have no doubt that as that first scene comes to a close, that you will absolutely be able to predict the end. I mean, it's almost got a Jerry Maguire verbatim scene right at the beginning. Not quite, but almost. But that doesn't mean you won't have a great time watching it.
Okay, then.
It's a silly caper. It tickled me so much. It's really quite funny. And it's got a huge heart, exactly the same as Joe.
Well, I'm going to see it tomorrow night.
Yeah, heart and heart and heart is what holds this movie together. You feel for the Vince Vaughn character all the way through because, you know, he's just a guy in a world that's cruel and he's trying to make his way. And, you know, he's a good guy. He carries people with him that perhaps aren't quite good enough for, you know, the world of business, but, you know, being him and the guy. And so he's a very relatable character in that way. You know, we know people like that who just want everything to be good for everyone. And that, for me, is what carried this movie through all of its nonsense. You know, we end up in a gay club in Germany and doing some crazy stuff. We end up in, you know,
Hamburg in a sauna.
Yeah, the what's James Franco's brother?
Dave
Franco.
David Franco character. He's idiotically stupid, but he does it with such sincerity and such sweetness that even though this character in every other movie that I would have seen this past year would have been annoying to me because of his sheer stupidity, there's a sweetness to the way he does his stupidity that you're like, I just want to hug him.
Are you reading my notes? Seriously, are you reading my notes?
I'm glad I was in the same place as you. I mean, I'm serious.
Yes, look, this is the issue. This movie succeeds 100% because of the casting. Dave Franco, in particular, for me, won this movie over. It's hard to play stupid, adorable, and sincere, and he is pitch perfect. He's really, really impressive. I mean, especially when you think about the fact that we've seen him in films recently, like the buddy movie with Channing Tatum, and
21 Jump Street.
You know, and he's a certain character, right? But he changes it here, and he's just so adorable. I mean, the other thing for me is that Vince Vaughn never actually feels like he's acting. He's always Vince Vaughn. And I think, you know, Joe, like you always say, this movie's got like huge Swiss cheese-sized plot holes, and the timescale's all messed up, and it's hard to think how luggage keeps appearing and disappearing, and, you know, it's got some weird inconsistencies like that. But it's efficient. The movie itself is efficient and it's focused and it gets its job done really adequately. And you can't beat on a movie that's just got such a big heart.
Oh, I got to see this now.
I actually was belly laughing long after other people had stopped, I think. Some of those scenes made me actually bend over double. They're so funny.
One of the movies from last year, which just keeps growing in my esteem, I thought it was kind of okay when I watched it. But I've watched it once again on television, and it's really grown in esteem as Neighbors. You know, the movie where...
We never watched that, actually. Oh, I remember you recommending it when we saw it.
So, with Zac Efron.
Seth Rogen.
Rose Byrne. No. Oh, you have to see it just for Rose Byrne. And Dave Franco is in that movie, and he plays this character. When you were talking about him, like, incredibly stupid but likable character, and he does that to a T there. So, okay, I need to watch this.
I mean, and the other thing with this is, you know, I think it had really good dialogue. The dialogue was really actually quite witty and funny. And I think this is a movie, again, you know, it's hard to do raunchy in a fun way. Mm-hmm. And I actually wasn't offended by any of the body parts on show. And many of them actually made me laugh, like I said, longer than most other people.
Can we spend just a minute trying to analyze why this has been skewered then? Because, I mean, every single review on Rotten Tomatoes just says that this thing is idiotic. And I think it compared to like something like Horrible Bosses 2 last year, which was idiotic and offensive... This movie is idiotic and
it's not offensive.
Inoffensive. And yeah, if you want to pick it, in fact, some of the jokes fall flat on their face, right? There's one thing, it's in the trailer, I think, where Vince Vaughn is, he happens to be wearing for some stupid reason, his wife's exercise.
Because his daughter packed it for him.
Right. Okay. And so there's an exchange in a hallway with the Sienna Miller character and one of the other characters, and that scene doesn't really work. It all is hanging on the fact that he looks a little silly in this, and you know he almost tries to justify why he's wearing it. You know, so there are some jokes which clearly don't work here, but just because some jokes don't work doesn't mean that none of them do. And I think you do. This is the kind of movie that you do have to go in and forgive it its failings, because if you want to pick at it and have a go at it and tear it apart, you can.
Yeah, because the other side of that same scene is that he's just running in a street wearing women's workout gear. But the issue is that he's a runner and he wants to run. So it's the lengths that you'll go to because you want to run, right? It's a means to an end. There's comedy in that. So I think there's many things in the movie where when it doesn't try too hard, it's really funny. And I think Horrible Bosses 2 tried too hard and it was mean. Yeah, it didn't have a heart. And I think that's what was good about the first one, which is why we didn't like Horrible Bosses 2. And it's that same type of raunchy humor, but for some reason it's so sincere that it just works really well.
Yeah, we have to learn to appreciate the sensibility of these filmmakers, because again, I mean, Starbuck is, I saw it very recently.
Isn't it great?
I just love that movie because again, that movie has so much heart, and people call it schmaltz, people call it many different things. But for me, you know, if a movie can elicit that kind of a response where it just makes you feel good about humanity, about humans, fine, call me, you know, schmaltzy guy. But I think there's something to be said for that.
Okay.
Wrap up, guys?
Yes, Joe.
You know, don't see it for the plot. You know, don't see it for the gags, because not all of them work. See it for its heart. This movie really won me over with its intentions. And I think, you know, not just because not everything works doesn't mean that it's the horrible movie that the press out there seem to be not saying it is. Apart from us, yeah. I mean, yeah. So for me, I would happily give it a 7 out of 10. I feel like giving it an 8 just because
it's the counter, yeah.
I want to poke the eye in every single movie snob out there who wants to give it a hard time. This really isn't this really isn't as bad as the world seems to make out it is, and I had a really good time watching it. It passed the laugh test.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing unfinished here. This is pretty tight and complete, and I would certainly recommend this to anyone who needs a good laugh after a hard day's work. I agree with you, Joe. 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Good solid
comedy.
Just be warned that despite the fact that this movie has a sweetness to it, it totally earns its R rating and then
totally earns its R. You
know,
yeah.
Be aware that there are some really raunchy humor in here, and I think, you know, maybe this is a movie that could have done without going there. It's almost an insecurity. But again, it brought some of the biggest laughs for me.
It's really funny the way it's done as well.
So
it's literally slapstick.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a work of genius, but
no.
Far from a horrible movie.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let us know what you think. Mail at movieballers.com, twitter.com/movieballers, and facebook.com/movieballers as well. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.